We're holding on Yud Beis Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. We started discussing yesterday the question of Romi Bachoma. Given that to make a neder, one way of making a neder, we said, is to be matfis bedover hanoder, that you're associating the object that you want to make also with something else which receives its kedusha by means of a neder, for example, a korban. So now the question was, what if a person says that, what if a person is matfis with the meat of a shlamim? So he has in front of him meat of a shlamim after the blood of the korban was sprinkled, where at this point it's mutter to eat. Do we say, you know, so we learned yesterday that if he specifies and says he wants it to be like this meat after zrikas damim, then fine. The fact that he used such a long expression shows that he wants to associate it with something of heter, and therefore that's not a valid neder. But if he were to just say stam, I want this to be like the meat of shlamim, then what would be the din? Would we say we go according to Me'ikra, how it was beforehand, and there was a point when it was Osir, because before Zrikas Damim, nobody's able to eat it? Or is he going according to, Behetera, according to its current status? Right now, it's Mutter to eat. And we said yesterday, the Ram says, even though it is true, there still are restrictions on who can eat it, only Tahurim, for example. Nonetheless, the fact that it can be eaten shows that those restrictions are just Gzeres HaKasuv and not really directly part of his neder. So we went through, we've gone through the whole sugya with trying to bring proofs one way or the other. So now the Gemara says, Lema Katanoi. Should we say that there's actually a Machloikas Tanoim on this subject of whether you go according to Me'ikroi or whether you go according to the way it is right now? A brisa says, "Harei alai kibchur." If a person says, "I want this food should be to me like a bchur," Rabbi Yaakov oisiv Rabbi Yehuda matir. Then Rabbi Yaakov says it'll be that the food will be osir. Rabbi Yehuda will say that it will be mutter. Now at this point, the Gemara is assuming that there's no difference between a bchur and any other kind of korban. Later on, the Gemara is going to point out a Bechor is different in that a Bechor's Kedusha doesn't come from your neder. A Bechor's Kedusha is intrinsic. It's born as the firstborn to an animal, then it becomes a Bechor. But right now, the Gemara is not taking that distinction into consideration. So therefore, the Gemara says, Hechi Dami. So what's the scenario where, what's the case where Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are going to be arguing? On the side over here, it says, by the way, it's really supposed to be Rabbi Yossi, but there are quite a few Rishonim who actually do have the Gersa Rabbi Yehuda as we have in front of us. The Ravid on the Rambam, for example, has it that way. Anyway, so Hechidam, Inem Lifnei Zrikas Damim, if you're going to say that it's before the blood was sprinkled, at which point it's also to eat, my time of the Mandashori. Then why would Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi say that it's mutter? At that point, it's certainly something which is also. Again, assuming that there's no distinction right now between a bechur and something else which receives its kedusha through a neder, which we're going to take up that point. We're going to take up that point at the top of the next amud. The ilach has zrikas damim, my time and demand also. And if you say it's after zrikas damim, so then why would anybody say that it's also? Right now it's mutter. So shouldn't we have to say that it must be the machis besar bechur, that he has in front of him meat of a bechur, or machis boso deheach kabeh, and then he has other meat sitting on the table next to it, which, okay, we said yesterday, it doesn't really have to be sitting on the table next to it, but that's typically how you do it. And you're saying this meat should be like that meat, the tanoi. So therefore we see that the answer to Rami Bachama's question, which is exactly that case, if he talked about with shlamim, but okay, here we're talking about with bechur, but at this point we assume it's the same thing. So we see that Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about that. So there you go then. So Rami Bachama's question would actually be subject to a machloikas tanoim, and if we figure out which tana the halacha is like, then we'll have the answer to his question. In fact, the Ran says, really, when we say when we ask about before or after Zrika, really, I mean, the next Mishnah is going to tell us that if he compares the food to an oila, a mincha, a chatas, or whatever, then it's going to be osur, because those are all things that are brought b'nedu and adava. So even if he just said stam, then we would assume based on that Mishnah that the ikre kamatfis, that he's going according to the ikr, and therefore we're saying it's also. And then we'd be saying that actually Rabbi Yehuda would be disagreeing with that. We'd be disagreeing with that next Mishnah and saying that it would actually be mutter. So that would seem to be the exact case that Rami Bar Chama is asking about. The answer is loy, not necessarily. We could say that everybody is talking about that they were talking about before Zrikas Damim, or my time in the Mandashori. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that it's mutter? Because a Bechor is different. Because the Pasuk says ki yidur, really it's supposed to be ki yidur neder. Anyway, the Pasuk says when a person declares a neder, and we've been talking about so far, we haven't really discussed where we get it from. This is the first place we're talking about, and we're going to have also tomorrow, at the beginning of the next parak, that from the words ki yidur, or rather ki yidur neder, we're learning that that the neder has to be with something that is already nodder. Again, we've talked about earlier in the Masechta, all the way at the beginning, the question of, is it that the Torah is telling us that is really the main way of making a neder is to be matfis, bedavra nader, but even if he didn't do that, then it still works because of on the grounds of yad? Or is it that the Torah is telling us it doesn't have to be to begin with? A neder saying this thing is also to me would work just as well. But when he's being matfis, if he chooses to be matfis, then it has to be bedavra nader. Anyway, the point is a bechor is not a davra nader. So that's why Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda would say that it doesn't work. Not because there's a difference, not because he would say that there's a difference between before Zrikas Damim and after Zrikas Damim. He would say on the face of it that at any stage of the Bechor, you can't be matfis in it because it's not a davar anodr. So therefore, the posik by saying ki yidur neder is excluding a bechor, which is something which is intrinsically also. So the same way as we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak, we'll learn tomorrow, Bas Hashem, that if a person were to say, for example, this food should be to me like chazer flesh, then it would not work. That's not a valid neder because chazer flesh is not something which receives its kedusha by means of a neder. The same way you would say over here. Umanda Osar, whereas Rabbi Yaakov, who says that in fact it is also, it would be a valid neder, he would say, Omakra Lashem, fine, but the Pasuk also continues with the word, it says, Ki yidur neder Lashem. So Lashem, Larabbis, Dover Ha'osur. So it comes to include even something which is Osur. Now, why should it? In that case, then what's the point of having Ki yidur neder in the first place? So the Ram says, because the fact is the Gemara knows now what it's going to say at the end of the sugya for further down the Amud, that even a Bechor, even though it's true, it has an intrinsic Kedusha as soon as it's born. Nevertheless, there is a mitzvah to verbally say this is Kodesh as a Bechor. So therefore, it's true that it is a Davar HaAsur, but nevertheless, it still receives an extra degree of Kedusha by you declaring that. Or the Rosh says differently. The Rosh says that in this case, it is true that the Bechor itself is not a Davar HaNodr, but it is something, after all, which is in the category of other things which are a Davar HaNodr, namely, it's in the category of other korbanos. Once a Bechor is brought, effectively, the meat of it is very much like the meat of a Shlomim. You have much the same dinim on it. Anybody can eat it. They actually have a machlokas with Shama Basil about that. But the halacha is like the silo that once the bechor is offered as a korban, anybody can eat it. And you have 2 days and a night to eat it, just like a shlomim and so forth. So therefore, even though it is true that this particular korban got its kedusha intrinsically as soon as it was born, nevertheless, the Rosh says it can still be in the general category of davar hanader, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yaakov, a neder using hatfasa with it will work, as opposed to, let's say, chazer flesh or other nevelus or trefus. Those don't go to Hashem at all. Those even Rabbi Yaakov would agree that it doesn't work. So we have two reasons why Bechor might be included according to Rabbi Yaakov, and the point is that we're learning it from the word Lashem. Well, the question is, well, then, Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Yossi, who says that it is mutter, that a neder saying this food should be to me like the meat of the bechor, and was saying he says that it's mutter because a bechor is not a davar hanader. So what is he doing? Lashem my ovidlei. What is he doing with the word Lashem? The answer is miboyle the matzis bechatas va'asha. The answer is, he would say, that tells us that if a person is matvis, using a chatas or an osham, if the person says, this food should be to me like a chatas or an osham, then that would work. Even though it is true that chatas or an osham are also not a davar hanadur, because by definition, you don't bring a chatas or an osham, you don't bring a chatas or an osham voluntarily. You bring them when you chayev a chatas or an osham. Nevertheless, the Ran explains that the fact is, ultimately, which particular animal are you bringing as a chatas? Which particular animal are you bringing as an osham? It's up to you. You are chay of a chatas or an osham, sure, but ultimately you have to decide which animal it is. So therefore, he would say, as the Gemara is going to go on in the next few lines, to say that a bechur is even, so if you're going to talk about korbanos that are more similar to a davar hanader, definitely, for example, an oil or a shlomim are absolutely a davar hanader, because you bring them voluntarily. A chatas or an osham in and of themselves, it's true, are not a davar hanader technically, but the fact is, the Ran says, and the Rosh and Tosfos say basically the same thing, that they don't get a chatas or an osham, the particular animal doesn't get its kedusha automatically. You're chayim to bring one, but you still have to designate which animal it's going to be. As opposed to, Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that when it comes to a bechur, not only is it something that's not nodur and nodur at all, which you could say like a hatas or an osham, you don't even decide which animal it is, because it was decided for you min hashamayim by this animal being born as a bechur. Therefore, you have less reason to include that. So he says the Lashem. So here he's saying, Rabbi Yaakov, you're saying that Lashem teaches us a bechur. I'm telling you, if you're going to consider within Karbonis which one can be included in the word Lashem, where after all, it has to be similar to a davar hanader, a chatas or an asham are much closer to a davar hanader than a bechur. So that's he says, umara isa l'rabas chatas for asham alahoytzias a bechur. So what makes you say that we should include chatas and asham because of the word Lashem and take out the bechur? And he says, marba ani chatas for asham shu makfas b'neder. I'm going to include the chatas and the osham because you're matvis b'neder in the sense. In other words, again, it's not that you voluntarily decide to bring a chatas or an osham, but you decide which animal it's going to be that you use for the chatas or the osham. And we would exclude the bechur because that's intrinsically kodesh from when it's born, and you have no say in the matter at all. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says it's more logical to say that the word Lashem is not including something that has no similarity at all to a nidav, namely a bechur, much more likely that it includes something with like a chatas or an osher. The Rambam, by the way, has a different take on it. He says it's true that a regular chatas or osher are something that you're required to bring, and you don't really have much say in it, except for the fact that you choose the particular animal. But another angle on it is, there is a type of chatas that you bring completely because of something voluntary you did, namely becoming a nazir, as we talked about the other day, and osham similarly, because an osham similarly, first of all, there's an osham toleri, where we've talked about earlier in the Masechta, a person can bring an osham toleri voluntarily when he figures that he may have done some avera that might make him chayev in one. But besides that, also again, a nazir, when he becomes tomei, brings an osham among his korbanos, and the nazirus itself was davar hanider. So therefore, so that allows us to say that any chatas or any osham is in that category, even though the particular chatas or osham we're talking about came as a result of something else. Anyway, that's going to be Rabbi Yehuda's shita. So therefore, so nothing to do with Rami Bachoma's question about whether you're going according to before Zrika or after Zrika. A Bechur is a special case, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yaakov are arguing specifically about a Bechur and not about other Korbanos.
I want to ask you, Kodesh Hashem, is it this column that says it, or is it this column? Is it regard to Bechur, or is it regard to...
So the words that we're quoting over here, Ki Yidur Neder Lashem, are regarding Nedarim.
By which carbons.
You can't. No, it doesn't say specifically by which carbon. It just says in general, ki yidish ki yido neder l'Hashem, when a person makes a neder to Hashem. So yido neder teaches us the concept of hatfasa. And l'Hashem, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, so l'Hashem, Rabbi Yaakov is saying, teaches us also a b'chor, even though it itself is not a davar ha-neder. It's an exception to the rule. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's teaching us chatas and asham, but not b'chor. So the Gemara asks back, umanda osar, umanda osar. So what about according to Rabbi Yaakov? What does he do with that logic? He answers, b'chor nami matpisa b'nederhu. The fact is, a b'chor also, you're creating its kedusha through a neder. It's true that it has kedusha from when it's born, but the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Mishum Rebbe Amru, they said in the name of Rebbe, Minayin Lenerle Bechor Besech Besech Mitzvah Lakdishai. How do we know that if a person has a Bechor born in his household to one of his animals, that he has a mitzvah to declare it Kaddish? Shenema has Zachar Takdish. The Pasuk says, Kol HaBechor, when a Bechor is born to your animals, then the males you should make holy. So therefore, so we see from that, that you have an actual mitzvah to declare it holy. So therefore, so it can be included in Davar HaNadur. It is true, says Rabbi Yaakov, that it's less similar to a Davar HaNadur as like an Oilo or a Shlomim. It's even less than like a Chatas or an Asham because you don't have a choice to declare any random animal a Bechor. Nevertheless, the fact is, you still need to say, this is a Bechor.
You still have to,
a Bechor with a Mum is still a Bechor. All it is is if it has a mum, then you don't bring it as a korban, then you shecht it wherever in the world you are, and then you give the meat to the kohen.
You don't give the kohen the actual animal.
So actually you're right, I said it inexactly. What you do is actually you give the, well, what it is once it has a mum, you're allowed to shecht it. So the kohen himself, at that point, you could give him the live animal and he could shecht it, or you could shecht it, it doesn't really matter. The point is that, I think actually you do have to give it to the kohen only because we're choshish that the Yisrael himself might go keep it for himself. But in any case, the point is that you don't have to, like this, if it doesn't have a mum yet, then eventually once it reaches a certain age, you give it to the kohen and the kohen himself raises it until it develops a mum and then he can shecht it and eat it. Or in the time of the Bais Mikdash, he goes and brings it as a korban and he and his family eat it. Anyway, so as Rabbi Yaakov says, so you see, you do have an obligation to say that this Bechor is Kaddish. Uman Deshori, so Rabbi Yehuda, what is the answer to that? He says, listen, Kilei Makdish Le Milei Mikdish. The fact is, and if you don't say this is Kaddish as a Bechor, does it not become a Bechor? Of course not. So it's not in your hands. Sure, the Torah is telling you, go the extra mile and say this is Kaddish and recognize that this animal is Kaddish. But even if you don't, it still has the full Kedusha of a Bechor. So you can't really say in any way that the Kedusha that depends on that the Kedusha that should depend on the person saying so, therefore it can't be considered Davar HaNadur.
Now, all the Yisrael that you would have, like by an animal that's being given to the Beis Midrash, like having an offmit or sharing it, you can't do anything.
So you can't do any of those with a Bechor either. With a Bechor, in addition, actually, you have an interesting thing that you don't have by other Kodshim, that even when you that even after you've shechted it and you're distributing or selling the meat, you can't sell it in the normal way. You can't weigh it with a regular balance scale like you would other meat, and you can't sell it in the butcher shops like you would other meat, because since with other korbanos, with other psulei hamikdashin, when you shecht them and then eat them, the profit goes to hekdesh. When you had to buy them back from hekdesh, a bechor that you don't, then we figure we don't want to treat the kodshim with bizoyin, to treat it like ordinary meat. And since anyway the profit is not going to hekdesh, but rather to the kohen, then we have those restrictions on it.
So kohen has to sell them.
So the kohen has to sell it so he can eat it himself with his family, or he can sell it piecemeal to people in private transactions without actually weighing it, but just estimating how much the meat weighs or things like that. Yeah. Anyway. So the bottom line is, so now we've reached the end of the sugya and we still don't have an answer to Rami Bachama's question. So what is the actual halacha? So the Ran brings from the Ramban. So ultimately, let's remember, Rami Bachama's question was, again, you have meat of a korban in front of you. So let's say forget about a bechor, because we said a bechor is a special case. But we'll get back to a bechor in a minute. But let's say, for example, a shlomim. If you have meat of a shlomim after zrikas damim sitting in front of you, and you say this other food should be like this, the question was beikre kamatfis or beheteru kamatfis. What is he doing that fossa with the original status of the korban, where there was a point when it was also before zrikas damim, or the current status? So we went through an entire sugya now, a block and a half, and we still haven't resolved it. So the Ramban says, the Ran quotes, that there's a Gemara in Masechta Nazir. You have a case that can be related to that. You have a case where Reuven says I'll be a Nazir, and Shimon says me too, and Levi says me too. So then what happens is let's say Shimon goes in his Matir Neder, then both Shimon and Levi are no longer considered Nazir. Because Shimon's Hatara not only helps for himself, but also for Levi, because Levi heard Shimon and said, me too. On the other hand, it doesn't help Reuven, because Reuven's declaration of Nazirus was independent of that. So now, the point is, says the Ramban and says the Ran, that you see from that, therefore, that you're going you're not going according to Me'ikra, you're not going according to the original, because if you went according to the original, all of them would be dependent on Reuven, and only if Reuven is Matir Neder would it help. Like this, we see that even Shimon can be Matir Neder and it helps. Therefore, we see that you go according to Behtera. So applying that to here, that would mean the answer would be that in fact you are it's not a Neder and you are allowed to eat that meat, because you're comparing it to Shlomim after Zrikas Damim, at which point it's Mutter to eat, and therefore you're fine. Now, on the other hand, if you explicitly made the statement, I want it to be like the meat of Shlomim after Zrikas Damim, no question that would be good. We said that at the beginning of the Sugya. But here, where he just said Stam, still the Ran and the Ramban and the Ran said we would go according to Lahatera. On the other hand, the Rambam paskins that no, you go according to the Me'ikra, you go according to the original status. And Mefarshim explained, because the Rambam would say it's different over there. You actually have different people who are Nedarim, yeah, who are Nazirim. You have Reuven versus Shimon versus Levi. So therefore, we can talk about that each one kind of is Nazir, stands on its own, as opposed to over here, it's the same meat before Zrika and after Zrika.
And therefore,
you can say that he is in fact you can say that he's going according to Me'ikra. So even though the Gemara hasn't resolved it, if nothing else, L'chumra, we would have to say that we go according to Me'ikra, and therefore say that it would be osir, that when he says this meat should be like the meat of the Shlomim, then the result is it would be a valid neder, and that second piece of meat would be osir to him. Now, you have a very interesting thing in this connection. We just talked about a bechur. We said a bechur might be a special case, because we said there's machloikas tanoim on that, because a bechur, you don't have to be makdish explicitly. I mean, we said you should be makdish explicitly, but you don't have to. Now, the Rambam has an interesting take on it, that he says with a bechur also, he says it depends. To be makdish with a bechur as a whole will not work, because again, a bechur is not a davar hanadur, but if you were to being makdish with meat of a bechur, then he says it depends whether you're talking about before Zrikas Damim or after Zrikas Damim. If you mak this on meat of a bechor before Zrikas Damim, it will work and you have a valid neder. After Zrikas Damim, it's not. That's how the Rambam puts it. So the Ravid says that doesn't seem to fit with the Gemara that we just said over here. And he says, you know, I don't really understand what the Rambam is saying. Maybe he misunderstood the Gemara over here. The Noisa Kalim on the Rambam actually have a big time with this. The Kesef Mishnah, interestingly, he says, you know, it's funny. He says the Ravid always, whenever he's arguing with the Rambam, he always stood him, and you know, the Rambam doesn't know what he's talking about, and this is completely wrong, and so on and so forth. Here he says the Ravid seems to be very unexpectedly gentle with the Rambam, and not mechuva be'ena, it's not so glatt to me. And the Kesef Mishnah says, what do you mean it's not so glatt? How on earth does what the Rambam saying fit into our Gemara at all? And it doesn't seem to fit with everything that we just said. So the Kesef Mishnah discusses it, and he brings something from Rabbeinu Abraham ben Arambam, the Rambam's own son, where he was asked about this, and he draws a distinction between, you could say that the Bechor as a whole is not a Dover HaNodur, because again, we said the Kedusha of a Bechor is something that's created as soon as the animal is born, whereas the meat of the Bechor, in a certain sense, it's like the meat of any other korban. Once it's been shechted and the blood has been sprinkled, it has much the same dinim as any other korban, and therefore you could be makfis with it. And then the Lechem Mishnah discusses it. The Shara Melech has a long discussion of it, and there's a lot of discussion among the Noisa Kalim on the Rambam about the possibilities. Maybe, for example, so we said at the beginning of today's Gemara, Leima Katanoi, that that we're talking about that the Gemara had asked whether the machlokas is lefnei zrikas damim or acha zrikas damim, so that Rambam may in fact understand like this. We said that the kulei alma lefnei zrikas damim. The Rambam doesn't have to understand it that way. The Rambam may understand. He may have had a different girsa in the Gemara or something. Who says that they're actually arguing la'acha zrikas damim? And therefore, you have the possibility that la'acha zrikas damim, maybe even you still have the possibility of being matfis in it. And you have different achronim talk about it. The Velvo Brisker has a lomdus about it, but there's a difference similar, a little bit similar maybe to what Rabbi Avraham ben Arambam says, that there's a difference between the intrinsic kedusha of the bechor versus the kedusha that you have in the meat right now. So there's a lot of discussion about what the Rambam holds about this exactly.
After Zrika,
it's mutter, but on the other hand, you could say, again, same thing with the shlomim. The Rambam is saying that meat of a shlomim, even after Zrika, when you're matfis with it, unless you explicitly say, I am matfis with the meat as it is right now, after Zrika's damim, then unless he says that, we assume that he's matfis with the original status of it before Zrika's damim. So Velvel says something along the lines that once you brought it as a korban, then it becomes basically like any other korban shlomim. So fine. If you're matfis after the bechor, after zrikas damim, then we say that he's matfis to its original state where it wasn't a davar hanadur at all, or to how it is right now where it's mutter. You can't say, in other words, with a bechur, in other words, with a regular korban, you go through basically two statuses. You have after it was declared as a korban, where it's off limits, and then you have after the zrikas damim, where there it becomes mutter to eat. With a bechur, you really have three stages, because you have the stage when, yes, it's osur as soon as it was born, but at that point, it's not a davar hanadur. Then you have the point when it's shechted and it becomes like any other korban; it's still also to eat. And then you have after zrikas damim. So in fact, one of the discussions and from the Shad HaMelech and the Brisker Rav, Rebelville brings this point is that with a bechur, then you can't say. So what are you going to say? You matfis. You can say either you matfis in the first state or the third state, but not the second one. So if you matfis in the first state, well then it's not a davar hanadur. Because after all, we're saying a bechor doesn't receive its kedusha through a neder and a davar. It's intrinsic as soon as it's born. And if you go according to the third state, the way it is right now, it's after zrikas damim. So the only way would be if you're going to say you mak this in the second state, and if it's already after zrikas damim, and you're saying it should be like this meat, then you can't even. There's nothing in Rami Bachama's question to suggest that you could go according to the second state. Therefore, the second state is different because then at that point, once it's been shechted, you can argue it becomes like any other korban. But nevertheless, at that point, but still, that's not me'ikra and it's not behetera. It's neither one. It's an intermediate state that's unique to a bechor, which you didn't have, not really unique to a bechor. That state actually is shared with other korbanos. But the difference is other korbanos, that state began as soon as the korban was designated because you designated it with a neder. A bechur, you have the distinction where first it was not a davar hanadur, and later on, after it was shechted, effectively it becomes a davar hanadur. So it's a lomdus, it's a subtle point, but that's one way of explaining the Rambam's shita.
Now, also, carbon slum, let's say, even the meat alone, can you just go and sell it? No, you can't.
No, of course not. And the Ran points that out at the beginning of the sugya. Never mind selling it. The fact is that only Tehorim can eat it, and you can only eat it in Yerushalayim and so forth. Still, the Ran says the very fact that you, a Bechor also has basically the same dinim, but the very fact that you're allowed to eat it after the Zrikas Damim demonstrates that now it's not a Dover Osir anymore. Now it's not something which is Osir. So you have, there are restrictions on it, fine. The Torah imposes certain restrictions on it, but you can't say that those restrictions come as a result of the Neder. Those are kind of a side thing that the Torah imposed on this meat after Zrikas Damim.
Yeah, but the difference, there is a difference between a Chor and a Shlomim.
Well, that's what we're saying. There is a difference between a Chor and a Shlomim, right? Because
it can be sold to everybody, right?
So a bechor, you can sell the meat to anybody, right? I mean, a shlomim, I suppose, maybe in Yerushalayim you could sell as well. I don't know, but you have to be tahor, of course. Yeah, bechor also, yeah. A bechor, actually not. A bechor, I think anybody can eat it. All right, the Mishnah had said, you're going back to the Gemara, the Mishnah had said, ki'imra kedirim. The Mishnah had given an example where a person says in neder that this food should be to me ki'imra, like the lamb, and we said that can mean the lambs of the korban tamid, it can mean the ram that Avraham Avinu brought as a korban, it can mean vlad chatos, we had a number of different explanations that the Rishonim gave. Or kedirim, we said, if you said that it's like the pens, where we said it can either mean the animal pens for the korbanos, or the pens where they kept the wood for the besmikdash. So we said such things are valid nedarim. So tana, we learn in a braisa, some more details about that. Imra, if the person says that this food should be to me imra, which literally means a lamb, or li imra, for a lamb, ki imra, or like a lamb, similarly with dirim, dirim, ladirim, kedirim, you can use the word dirim by itself, or the word ladirim, for the dirim, or kedirim, like the dirim, similarly, eitzim, la eitzim, ke eitzim, similarly, if he mentions the wood of the, similarly, if he mentions the wood of the wood that goes on the wood pile of the Mizbeach, or specifically the two logs of wood that they would put on every day, then he could use the word eitzim or le'eitzim or ke'eitzim. Similarly, if he mentions the fire of the Mizbeach, ishim, he could say ishim or le'ishim, ki'ishim. The Mizbeach, he could say Mizbeach, la'mizbeach, ki'mizbeach, heichel, la'heichel, ke'heichel, Yerushalayim, le'Yerushalayim, ki'Yerushalayim, kulon, all of them, the Braisa says, it depends what he says next. If then he says, after any of these phrases, he says that I would have eaten of yours, then that constitutes a valid neder, and therefore he's also to eat from that guy's food. But if he says any of these things, he says, for example, imra, loy oichaloch, then that would not be a valid neder. Well, so the question is, man sham in lay dlashon lay imra la imra ki imra. Well, which tana have we seen that doesn't make that distinction, whether you say imra or li imra or ki imra? He doesn't care whether you have the chaf there, whether you're saying this should be like the sheep, or whether just you're saying this is the sheep of the korban, and so forth with the other examples. That is remeir. We know that that's remeir. The problem is ema sefer b'chulon loy oichalach moter. So then, why is the braisa continuing and saying if he says loy oichalach that I won't eat of yours mutter? Well, Tanan la korban la oichalach. We learned before on Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We said quoting a Mishnah from the beginning of the next parak, that if he says la korban la oichalach, or a mayor, or it's the end of, not really the beginning of the next parak, it's actually the beginning, it's the end of this parak. We'll have it on Amud Beis actually. So if he says la korban la oichalach, Rav Meir oyser. So if he says le korban, I won't eat of yours. Rav Meir says it's oser. But Omer Rav Abba, and Rav Abba says, why is that? Didn't we say that Rav Meir holds that Rav Meir doesn't hold miklal lav ata shemeh hein? He doesn't hold that you can derive the negative from the positive or vice versa. So Rav Abba says nasa koimer le korban yehei lefichach lo eichaloch, because it's the equivalent of saying this shall be for a korban, therefore I will not eat it of yours. So if this braisa that we just quoted with imra, le'imra, ki'imra is all like Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, now we know it can't be like Rav Yehuda, because we had an on Mishnah, for example, and then the previous Mishnah, where Rav Yehuda distinguished between whether the person says ki Yerushalayim or Yerushalayim. We said if he said ki Yerushalayim, he said according to one Tana within Rav Yehuda's opinion, the Tana of the Mishnah, if he said ki Yerushalayim, that would be a valid neder, because he means that it should be like the korbanos that are brought in Yerushalayim, or it should be like the infrastructure of Yerushalayim that's built out of Trumas Alishka or Shiori Alishka, whatever. Versus if he says Yerushalayim, then that wouldn't work. So we see Rav Yehuda draws a distinction between whether you use the chaf or not. So he can't be saying that imra and ki imra are the same. So therefore, necessarily, the braisa has to be according to the mayor. Again, the bnei plugta, whenever you have the mayor, usually the one against them is Rabbi Yehuda, and vice versa. So if it can't be like the mayor, if it can't be like Rabbi Yehuda, the logic is to assume it's like the mayor. But according to the mayor, if you say le korban loy oichaloch, then we break it up into two statements. Le korban, this food should be for korban, therefore loy oichaloch, therefore I won't eat it of yours. So how can he be saying in the braisa here that if he says le imra loy oichaloch, then it's not a ned? The answer is le kasha hodra omel lo le imra hodra omel le imra. There's a difference whether he said not. There's a difference whether he said. Not for Imra, or whether he said for Imra. So again, here we get into the discussion that we had yesterday, whether do we mean that actually that we have two different words over here, that he explicitly says law imra, not for the sheep, in which case we say, okay, so he's saying it's not a korban, therefore it's not a problem. Or if he's saying li imra, where we said that that could be understood as meaning for the sheep, or if he says it with a kometz or with a patach, then it can be la imra. We would break it up and say that that breaks down into the word la, meaning not imra, the sheep. So the Ran says there can be the distinction. We don't necessarily have to say like we had before that we're talking about, just like we had before in the Mishnah, where we had over there the word la, where we had the word la korban, and we said, was it that were la cholin actually we had in the Mishnah? Did we have actually two separate words, la cholin, or did we have it as one word, la cholin, and we ourselves break it down to create the two words, la cholin? So the same way over here, when he's saying le korban versus la korban, or not korban, imra. If he says le imra versus la imra. So if he says la imra, then that amounts to saying loy. If he says le korban loy oichaloch, then Reb Meir is going to say it's also, because then again, we break it down. Like Reb Abba says, le korban, this should be considered for korban, and therefore loy oichaloch. But if he says la imra or la korban or whatever, then it amounts to saying just the opposite. This will not be considered like the sheep that I wouldn't eat of yours. So therefore, that's not a neder.
This guy who's saying we're making this neder has to really know.
Has to really know is the korban. Yeah. I mean, you know, you have to wonder in real life how many people would do this kind of elaborate thing. But I guess, nedarim were common enough in those times. You have the very fact that the Chachamim have to warn people against making nedarim shows that it was a very common thing. So I guess, everybody wants to one-up the next person. And, you're going to make a nedar using this plain lashon. I'm going to make it using a fancier lashon. So eventually, we have to get into the question of how fancy can these lashonis be and still actually work.
It's all relative to halacha.
So we're talking about within halacha, of course, right. I mean, ultimately, it also has to be piv v'libay shavin. It has to be that he means to make a neder. So what we're talking about is, but you need both. You need him to mean to make a neder, but you also need that the words that he used themselves have to constitute a valid neder. Again, like we said the other day, the same way as if a person says, for example, this food should be to me like chazer flesh, he obviously fully intends to make a neder and to make it also to him. Nevertheless, we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak that it doesn't work, because even though he had in mind, he didn't use a formula that constitutes a valid neder. He's not makvis b'davra neder. So the same way of me. Mishnah says, ha'omer korban oila mincha chatas toda shlomim shani oichaloch. If he says any of these phrases, is this korban that I would have eaten of yours, or oila that I would have eaten of yours, and mincha, etc. Also, in all those cases, he's also. Rabbi Yehuda matter, and Rabbi Yehuda says he's mutter. So the Ran says, we're assuming at this point in the discussion the point is, in other words, we're saying, we discussed in the previous Mishnah, which kind of things would you need a chof with and which one not? The chof meaning light. So we said there are certain things where you need to use the chaf. For example, we said that you have to say, for example, ki imra, ki dirim, etc., according to the previous Mishnah, which we said that the previous Mishnah went according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you have to use the chaf. Otherwise, it's not a valid neder, because otherwise it amounts to saying, for example, if you just say imra lo yichaloch, then it amounts to not a neder. It amounts to more like a shvua, saying, I swear by the korban that I won't eat with you. And that's not a valid neder. So you can't swear by a korban. You swear in Hashem's name. You swear by an object of kedusha or something like that. Or you don't mention anything at all, and we assume that it's in Hashem's name, but not to swear by a korban, for example, the life of the korban, let's say. So now the point would be then that we're saying that to say korban itself would work because Rabbi Yehuda matter, and when Rabbi Yehuda says it's mutter. Now the assumption is, says the Ran, that you have, again, these are things where the name itself indicates it's also. So the same way as we said in the previous Mishnah, that you can say it should be noiser, it should be pigle, and that works even without the chof, because the word noiser or pigle itself implies something which is also. So we're going to say the same thing over here, that Rabbi Yehuda will agree that certain things that certain things don't require a chof. Incidentally, then you get into the interesting question, what about if he uses the word koinam? Now, we said earlier in the parak, the word koinam itself is a nickname for the word korban. So does that mean if you said koinam, this thing is also, that Rabbi Yehuda would also disagree and say he's mutter? On the other hand, Tosfos discusses and says maybe not actually. The fact is that when he says the koinam is a special case, Tosfos brings two possibilities. One is that in fact Rabbi Yehuda would say anytime we say koinam such and such, then he really means you would have to say kip koinam, otherwise it wouldn't work. Or the other possibility that maybe koinam is something special. Maybe koinam is more like a verb. It would mean this thing should be made into a koinam, and Rabbi Yehuda would agree that would work. Anyway, here in our Mishnah, he's saying oilo or mincho or whatever. So he's also Rabbi Yehuda matur. Ha-korban, ke-korban, korban, sha'uich halach aser. If he says the korban, or like a korban, or korban, sha'uich halach, that I would have eaten of yours, aser, then in all those cases he's aser, because whatever it is, we assume that he means that what he would have eaten should be considered a korban. So here is where we distinguish, like we said before, between oich halach and loy oich halach. La korban, loy oich halach, ramei oiser. Rameyer says that if he says lekorban lo yochalach, then Rameyer is going to say that's also for reasons that we've already discussed before, and we're going to have in the Gemara again that Rav Abba says we break up the statement and we say lekorban and versus lo yochalach. So the Gemara says katoni korban hakorban kekorban shayochalach aser. Now, when we have in the Mishnah that was saying that whether he says korban or hakorban or kekorban shayochalach, that I would have eaten of yours. Osir, stama tonic at a mayor, Glashani Leben Imra Le Imra. So that would be according to the mayor, a stam Mishnah, according to the mayor, that he doesn't distinguish between Imra and Le Imra. Either way, he says that's a good neder. The question is, Ira mayor, Hod Katonia Korban Sha'uchalach Osir, but if it's according to the mayor, how can he say that if he says Hakorban Sha'uchalach, the Korban that I would eat of yours, Osir, Vahatania, we learn in a Braisa, Moidim Chachomim Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachomim. Agree with Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chachamim again are going to include Rabbi Yehuda's Bar Plugta, which includes Rabbi Meir. Ba'omer ha korban v'ha oila v'ha mincha v'ha chatas sh'oichaloch. If he were to say ha korban, this korban, or v'ha oila, or v'ha mincha, or v'ha chatas sh'oichaloch, that I would eat of yours, shemutter, then he's mutter, and there's no neder over here, shalom no dazeh, ela b'chaye korban, because then we say, what did he do? It wasn't really a neder. What it is he's trying to make a neder, or shvua, as the case may be, using the life of the korban. The same way, for example, let's say you have the loshen aposif, sometimes that a person says, chai Hashem, Hashem lives, I will do such and such, which is a shvua, or vice versa. You have, for example, Yosef, when he wants to pretend to his brothers that he's going to do such and such. He says, Chei Farai, I swear by the life of Parai that I will or I won't do such and such. So the same way over here, what is he saying? He's saying, as the korban lives, I swear that I'll do such and such. That's not a neder and it's not a shvua.
Because it has
kedusha, of course, the korban has kedusha, but not to the extent that you can use it as a basis for a shvua. You have to, if you're going to make a shvua, it has to be on a shem or on a chepza of kedusha or something. And the point is that if he says ha korban, etc., then that we're assuming at this point that again saying ha korban or saying ha korban as one word amounts to the same thing. So then in that case, in the Mishnah we're saying that if he says HaKorban Sha'uchalach also, but in the Braisa we're saying that if he says HaKorban Sha'uchalach Mutter. So what is the mayor hold? So the answer is like Kasha, Hoda Oma HaKorban, but Hoda Oma HaKorban. There is in fact a difference whether he says HaKorban as two words, where then when he says HaKorban, we can reinterpret what he's saying, the word Ha, as similar to the word chai. In fact, the word Rishonim, who have the gears over here, not ha korban, but hey korban, with a yud. Where then we can, the hey and a ches, you think of the way Sfaradim pronounce them, which is taka the original way, where they pronounce a ches deep in the throat, very, very much like a hey. So when we say hey korban, then it's very similar to the word ha, to the word hey korban, and therefore we can understand that that's what it means, that it means that he's swearing by the life of the korban.
Which we can't do that.
No, so we're, no, we, what do you mean? It can't be right, and we're saying therefore it's not a valid neder. therefore it's not a valid neder. V'hod omer ha-korban, whereas if he says ha-korban as one word, then it means this should be at, this should be the korban, meaning this should be as a korban. So then it would be also like a korban, right? Tosfos also points out, by the way, now you do have in play, there are places in Shas where people make a, where people take a Shavua and they say ha-avoida, they swear, they say, I swear by the avoida of the Bais HaMikdash, that's such and such. The difference is, Tosfos says, here he's expressing it in the form of a neder. He's saying ha-korban loy oichaloch, which is more the lotion of a neder, as opposed to say, ha-avoida, that I will or I won't do such and such, then therefore that's a shavua. But here we're talking about a neder. So a neder has to be, so if he says as one word, ha-korban, then it's one thing, but if he says as two words, ha-korban, or hey-korban, or whatever, and then we're in understanding that can mean he's making a neder by the life of the korban, that's not a valid neder.
Otherwise he's making actually making Hashem's name.
So if he were to say in Hashem's name, that would be a shavua.
But by him saying ha-korban.
By him saying ha-korban, so that's the thing. If we were to say that it means, so that's the thing. If he says ha-korban, then he's not saying by the life of the korban. Then he's saying this food should be like a korban. Well, that's classic atfasa. Therefore, it works. My timer, why is it if he says ha-korban, it doesn't work? Chaye korban, comma, because in effect, what he's saying is that I want to make a neder by the life of the korban, and that's not the definition of a neder. Okay, so the Gemara says, Katoni lakorban la urchaloch. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. We said that if he says lakorban loy urchaloch, he says, for korban, I will not eat of yours. Reb Meir oyser. So we said Reb Meir asks it. It says that it's a valid neder and it's also. So as we discussed before, Reb Meir does not hold that you can deduce the negative from the positive or vice versa. So if he says lakorban loy urchaloch, then how is that a neder? The implication, sure, is that the korban that is the korban I won't eat of yours, implying, in other words, what I would eat of yours is considered a korban. We're assuming, like we said before, that la korban breaks down into la korban, not a korban. And therefore, so you'd be saying, in effect, what I wouldn't eat of yours is not a korban, but what I would eat of yours, what you're offering me to eat, is considered a korban. Therefore, it's also, but a mayor doesn't hold of that concept. So how, according to him, is la korban la oth halach also? And the answer is Amar Rabba Nasa Kaima Lakorban Yehei, because we break down what he says, and in effect, what he's saying is this food should be like a korban. Lafichach lo urchaloch. Therefore, I'm not going to eat it of yours. And according to the mayor, that's a valid neder. So again, if he says hakorban or kikorban or whatever, then that also works. According to the mayor, you don't even need the chaf with these things, because again, the chaf is only needed when you have something that might mean something which is also or might not. A korban is definitely something that you can match this in, so therefore you don't even need the chaf. And if he says le korban or la korban, that depends whether he's going to say le korban or la korban, and whether he follows it up with sha'oy chalach or shaloy chalach.
So
if he says la korban, it means not a korban, and then so if he says sha'oy chalach. So if he says shaloi oichaloch, if he says la korban loy oichaloch, then we're breaking it down. We're saying that this should be for a korban, and therefore loy oichaloch. If he says la korban shaoichaloch, then we say it means that what I would have eaten of yours is not a korban. Now that implies that what I would eat of yours is a korban, but Rameo doesn't hold of that concept, and therefore it wouldn't work as a neder. That's what we said before on. We said before that on Yud Aleph Amud Beis we had over there, for example, the same way. If he says ha cholin or kecholin or whatever, lach cholin shalach also lach cholin shalach mutter. So now it would be the same. So again, we had the discussion over there. The Ran explained, the Ran brought a girsa over there that he was comparing not cholin but chalin, as in chala. Where again, that you can't be makfis with that, as we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak. But here we're talking about if he says korban, where you can be makfis with a korban, so therefore it's the other way around.
Can't be
makfis with chala for reasons that we're going to talk about at the beginning of the next parak. Chala is not considered a dover hanodu. So we talked about it a couple of days ago, various explanations, and we're showing him why chala is not considered a dover hanodu. Is it because it Is it because now that it's given that it's mutter to koyanim, the Ran says, then you can't really say that it has any kedusha as a result of a neder. It is true, of course, it's restricted to koyanim, but the very fact that it can be eaten means it's not a davar neder. Or fakir, the Rosh had said over there that because it was also before you took the challah anyway, the dough was tevel, then now all you've done is you have the restriction still remains on this particular piece, but you didn't make it with davar neder. Or the Rambam phrases it that anything that you're required to do can't be a davar neder, and since you're required to take challah, then therefore that's not considered davar neder. Yeah. Okay. Mishnah says, "Ha'oimel l'chaveri koinam pi medaber imach." If one person says to the other, "A koinam, that my mouth will not talk to you," and we'll see in the Gemara exactly what the expression is using, or "Yodi oise imach," or my hand won't do work with you, "Ragli mahalechas imach," or my foot won't walk with you. Also, then he's also to do any of those things because those are valid men. So again, a point of one possibility in Tosfos on Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda might disagree with that just on the grounds that he said koinam rather than kikoinam, or according to the other possibility, according to the Ri in Tosfos, not necessarily even Rabbi Yehuda might agree that koinam by itself is enough, because koinam we understand as more of a verb, that this should be made into a koinam. And therefore, in other words, as if we supply the chaf. So the Gemara says, a remin. The Gemara says, I have a contradiction. So you're telling me that you're able to make a neder that my mouth won't talk with you, etc. Meaning, in other words, on the face of it, you're making a neder on an action. Or a minu, but the Gemara says, I have a contradiction. A Mishnah says in the next parak, choyme b'shvuos b'nedarim, or b'nedarim b'shvuos. It's actually not in the next parak, it's a Mishnah in shvuos, whatever. There's a chumra in shvuos over nedarim, and there's a chumra in nedarim over shvuos. Choyme b'nedarim, nedarim have a chumra over shvuos, sha'a nedarim cholen ala mitzvah kivir shvuos. Nedarim are able to be on a mitzvah just like on shvuos, meaning, and we're going to learn in the next parak about that, for example, if a person were to say matzah is also to me, then all matzah is also to him, and he can't eat matzah on Pesach unless he's matur neder. And similarly with other mitzvahs. On the other hand, shavuos not. We say mushba v'oymin mahar Sinai. We learned earlier in the parak, a person has already besworn from Har Sinai to do such and such a mitzvah, and he can't get out of it by a contrary shavuot. So that's the thing. A neder, remember, is on the object. So now the matzah, all the matzah in the world was not mushba to be eaten by him on Pesach. Therefore, the neder is able to be chal, but shavuos not. So that's the stringency that nedarim have over shavuos. Mashenkin b'shavuos, shavuos are not like that. V'chomer b'shavuos, on the other hand, shavuos have a chomer over nedarim. Sha'shavuos cholos al davar sheyesh be'mamash v'shein be'mamash. A shavua can go on something which has mamoshos, which is tangible, or something which is not tangible. Mashenkin b'nedarim, as opposed to nedarim. So if a person says, for example, a shavua, that I won't eat or that I won't sleep, that's fine. That's a valid shavua. The eating or the sleeping are not tangible. Doesn't matter. The shavua is on the person that he's saying that he will or he won't do such and such. Nedarim have to be on something tangible. So you can't say, for example, a neder that I won't sleep. Okay, we talked about earlier in the parak, maybe it can work on the grounds of yad, that you can say that it's a partial declaration of a shavua, maybe not, but in any case, it's not a neder. So in our Mishnah, how is he saying, koinam pi medaber imach, a koinam that my mouth won't speak with you? The speaking is not something tangible. So Omer Rav Yehuda, bo'omer, what it means is he says, ye oser pi v'diburi, my mouth will be oser as far as it's speaking. So the mouth is a tangible thing. Mouth exists right now. The yoda l'masehem, or he says, my hands will be oser for their actions, ragla l'hilochon, or my feet will be oser as far as they're walking. So in other words, and so the Ran says it doesn't even have to actually be that he uses that lashon. It doesn't even have to be that he explicitly says you're also pi the diburi, etc. Just the fact that he said pi medaber imach, we say he's not focusing on the speech that he's asking for himself. He's focusing on the mouth, because he uses the expression pi medaber imach, and therefore it will work because the mouth is something tangible. So, and the Gemara says, the Gemara finishes off, Deka Nami. In fact, we see that from the wording of the Mishnah. Dekatani pi medaber imach, v'lekatani shani medaber imach. We didn't say that he says a koinam that I won't speak with you, because then that can't be a neder, because then he's not mentioning any particular tangible thing. But when he says pi medaber imach, then yes, we can reinterpret what he says. What he says pi medaber imach, that he's focusing on the peh, which is an object that exists right now, and therefore the neder can be chal on that. In fact, the Ran and Tosfos point out that in the next perek we're going to talk about, even when we have something which is not a valid neder d'araisa, but sometimes the Chachamim are still going to consider it midrabbanan, a valid neder, and require the guy to get ataras nedarim, because we don't want people to be careless with nedarim. So even if it were to be true that we were to say this neder wouldn't actually be able to be chal because he used the expression, for example, shani medaber imach, which is not a valid neder, nevertheless, midrabbanan, we might make him do ataras nedarim if he wants to be able to do that thing. But here we're talking about that, here we're talking on d'araisa level. We're saying the fact is, when he says, it's not just midrabbanan, midaraisa, we have a valid neder, and therefore he has to keep to it, and then all the consequence and all the regular consequences will be if he doesn't keep it. Hadron alach kol kinyanim. There's a lot of technicalities involved, yeah. Nedarim is a lot of nedarim is about technicalities, yeah. Okay, shkreyach, everyone.